Alrighty, let me have you turn this morning to a couple places. We'll be using the Bible a little bit, but 1 John 2 and 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's start with verse 18, 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now, from there, 1 John, chapter 2, and go on down to verse 18. 1 John, chapter 2, and I'll start with verse 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, thereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. And if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Let's bow our heads and pray there. Now, Father, we thank you this morning for your loving kindness, your goodness to us. You bless the labor of our hands and the hands of many here yesterday. We're glad to be able to have the kind of fellowship that we have here today. And we ask that you might bless folks as they are getting ready to start their journeys home in the main. But Father, we pray that you might bless this hour that we have together. And may you honor the Word of God, Father. Help it to help us in these last times. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. So, in both those passages, you had the last time or the last times mentioned. I doubt very seriously I have to go through a long list of things that happen in this world and have happened and are developing and are stewing and boiling at this point to convince you that you live in the last days. I know that you know that doctrinally. I don't question anything about that. I'm sure that that's the case. And so I don't have to go through those things, but we certainly do live in the last times. Now, it might be a little bit out of season as far as where we are, because it's summertime here in Minnesota now. And while we may have a tornado or something a little bit later, something like that, the Floridians will be having to prepare and be warned by the weather terrorists soon that the hurricane season is upon us. And so undoubtedly you'll be busy buying plywood and all that kind of stuff, because here in Minnesota, it'll just be a few months before the weather terrorists start preparing us for the fact that we're going to die this winter if we don't have the $39.95 survival kit in our cars. That would involve a granola bar, a candy bar, a candle, and a lighter, and a blanket, and some boots. And for $39.95, you too can have this magic survival kit for the hour that you're breaking out on the road in the middle of a Minnesota blizzard in December, and you too can live if only you buy this $39.95 survival kit. Like I said, in Florida, it plays out a little different, and undoubtedly various other places. I'm sure that in Colorado, you're regularly warned by the weather terrorists. Well, I just want to say here this morning that while maybe it's a wise thing for you to get a kit together of some sort, it's always nice to have a candle if you're going to freeze to death, I suppose. If you're going to break down, you know, whatever, you'll need something. But I want to say that that's not the main thing that you need. I know that with our eyes and hearts set in this world, I know that the way that this thing works is that all that we ever see is the world. We walk by faith and not by sight, so we don't see God. We don't see what He does, but we're always hearing, we're always seeing. We've spent the last 2 years and beyond, it goes way back before that, being herded around and treated like cattle, because after all, there's this terrible thing coming down the track And among those things, of course, are COVID and various other things. Well, I just want to say here that what you're seeing with regard to that is that you're living in the last days. You're living in the latter times. John even said in John's day, it's the last time. There's probably some dispensational stuff in there, but John said it's the last time. I'd like to preach to you for a little while here this morning, because way back in Peter and John's day, back in 60 to 90 AD, they were saying it was the last time or the last times then. And I want to say they weren't wrong. I know that we live in the latter times now. The fact of the matter is that when Jesus Christ came the first time, it was the latter times. And what's happened is the Lord has stretched out the time frame. I mean, think about it this way. We've been living in the last times for 2,000 years because of the church age, quote unquote, parenthesis, right? And if that seems strange to you, think about it this way. One day with the Lord's 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. As of today, this is Sunday for us. If one day with the Lord's 1,000 years, then the Lord only told us about these things 2 days ago. So it's just not that long ago. See what I'm saying? You say, well, what's the point? Well, the point is that contrary to the evolutionists and the uniformitarians, this tragic play, this charade that's being played out down here is not going to go on forever. They would have us believe that we're going to still be here 1,000 years from now, 2,000 years from now, when the sun finally burns out or burns us up or some such thing like that. That's not going to happen. Jesus Christ is coming back because you live in the last times. The last times are upon us. And again, I know I don't have to go through all these this list of things to prove to you, Bible believers, that the last times are upon us. But all you have to do is look around. You have to admit, if you want to go back and name dates and point to a couple of flags, you have to admit that 9/11/2001 was a big date. But you have to also admit that things have sped up perpetually for these last several years. And those of you even that are teenagers, you've seen some things happen the last few years that plainly mark the fact that we live in perilous times and that these are the last days. Now, as I said, a lot of folks are getting their survival kits ready. And so soon you'll be encouraged to buy the $39.95 blanket and candle so that you too can survive a Minnesota winter in your car. Meanwhile, various groups in the world are getting their survival kits together to endure till the end of the world. And that'll include a survival garden, maybe conservative activism. After all, you're probably better to invest in gold or whatever some of those other weird investments are. Bury the guns. Get some ammo if you can. I don't know where you're going to buy 10,000 rounds of ammo anymore. It's hard to get a box anymore. But what I'm saying is that you have preppers and you have hoarders that are busy right now preparing for the end of the world. I just want to say, you may want to put aside a bottle of water. That's a good idea. And somebody can always use a bag of rice or a bag of beans. If you have a generator, well, fine. But you are planning to get out of here, right? And what I'm saying is that you can slide down a greasy slope pretty quick by doing this getting ready thing. Like I said, you're planning to get out of here. Seems to me that you need a survival kit for the last times that doesn't involve pinto beans and rice or generators. So I'd like to preach to you for a little while about the survival kit for the last times, if I could. I'd like to show you what you really need. There's nothing new here. Yesterday was a wedding. If you expected something new today, you've been smoking funny grass. Okay? But this is some simple stuff. I'd like to point you, first of all, to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'd point out to you in chapter 1, verse 20, that Jesus Christ was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. I'll tell you what you need in the last days. You need Jesus Christ. I know to this crowd it's obvious, but to the world it's not. You need Jesus Christ. If you will, flip back to Hebrews chapter 9 just real quick. I'd like to expand a little on what I said earlier. It says in verse 26 of Hebrews 9, it says, "For then must we often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Well, if that's the case, then that means that when Jesus Christ appeared 2,000 years ago, that was the last days. So the last days have now extended out to our time frame here in 2021. The Lord chose you to live in 2021 to go through these last times. There are some dispensational issues there. You know, a stretched out time frame. You know, the Lord made a special time not foreseen in the Old Testament, all those things. But the bottom line is, for as long as the church age has endured, we've lived in the latter times, and you now live in the last of the latter times, because it's now really late. The latter days, perilous times shall come. Those days are now upon us fully. I'd just like to say here tonight that God put you here in 2020 plus, 2021, and beyond, however long this goes. He knew what he was doing when he put you here. Ladies and gentlemen, you ever stop and think that the Lord, you know, raised up a special generation to go through those first persecutions by the church? The Lord raised up, perhaps the Lord raised up, a special generation that was called the greatest generation to storm Normandy Beach. So I would ask you, first of all, if you're among the generation that's going to endure the last times and come through on the other side well. Because I tell you what, you should, because the reason you should is you have Jesus Christ. And I want to say that what you need, far more than you need a bunch of water stored up or a bunch of ammo stuck in the ground somewhere or a bunch of guns you'll never shoot, you need Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ. You need Him. You need Him for the last times. You need Him to survive these last times. You may not survive if you don't have Him. You may not survive if you do what some of your brethren have done and played around on the side. And there are a lot of folks out of the race now. I'm not saying they won't go to heaven. I'm saying you want to come out victorious. And if you're going to survive the perilous times, you need Jesus Christ. You need to be redeemed in verse 18 with, not with corruptible things, but with incorruptible things. You need the blood of Jesus Christ. I stop and consider where I was all those years ago before I got right, and I didn't have a long enduring time in the world in which I was lost. I got saved at 10 and was simply backslidden from 10 to 20. But I know a lot of other folks, and I know how I lived when I was backslidden. And I would just like to say, I don't know what it would have been like, although I try to keep it in mind, for me to have been lost and doing something else, obviously, than this scenario here for the last couple years through 2020, with all of the magpies screeching in my ear about all the horrible things that are going to happen, and living life the way I would have lived it had I been lost and not had Jesus Christ. Have you ever just in your mind stripped things away and considered what life would be like without your eternal security, without the promises, without the Bible, without light upon the Bible, with none of what you have the capacity to fall back on now? Have you ever just stopped and stripped those away and thought what it would be like to be lost in 2020 or 2021? Again, with everybody screeching in your ears about all that's going to happen, all that could happen, all that might happen, and then tomorrow changing their mind, so you're getting jerked around every different way. Have you ever imagined, as a Christian, what it would be to live like that under the circumstances of the day? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you have Jesus Christ? I am really glad that I have Jesus Christ. Think of the things that are happening. Think of being lost, hopeless, going through COVID, and then going through the social unrest, the social upheaval. Think about going through the, you know, whatever happens to our economy, whatever happens to our culture in these next years to come. But I tell you what we do know. We know that eventually, I know that we're not going to be here, but there's starvation coming. There's an Antichrist coming. There's a tyranny coming. There are plagues coming. Whatever else is the case between now and the Great Tribulation, we're going to get out. But probably between now and us getting out, there's going to be a great deal more fear-mongering. There's going to be a lot more lying. There's going to be many more threats that are sent our way trying to do what? Trying to rob you of any usefulness that you have in this life. I'll tell you what you need for the last times. Ladies and gentlemen, you need Jesus Christ. You received Him as your Savior 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 months ago, 50 years ago. It doesn't matter. You need Him today. You need Jesus Christ. I have a great shepherd. And the great shepherd anticipates and knows what dwells in the wilderness that I have no knowledge of. Bible says that He leadeth me beside the still waters, and He prepareth for me a table in the presence of mine enemies. Stop and consider that. Stop and consider the Lord's every intention is to give you a table in the presence of your enemies. For as long as man has lived on this earth as a fallen man, God has made man's, His saints, tables in the presence of His enemies. You know, He sent Israel to Babylon. And what a horrible thing a captivity must be to walk out of town with your backside naked and showing, to go off into captivity ashamed and disgraced and all those things, and yet the Lord gave them a table in the presence of their enemies. That's where you are today. And so we're headed off into the Lord knows what, as far as what the next brief time will bring before we're out of here. I don't know what it all brings. I do know that it's probably more terrifying to think about than go through. I also know this. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ will provide for me a table. I know that He will allow me to bed down in peace, and that He will get up in the morning and lead me out. I'll tell you what you need for the last times. You've got to make sure this is in your survival kit. You need Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, you need His fellowship. There's an awful lot of Christians that aren't in fellowship. They're saved, but they're not in fellowship. And you need that fellowship. I'd like to say this as well. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And starting in verse 1, just a passage we just taught through in Sunday school, but chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, so there's the last days. Go on down to verse 15. No, verse 14. But continue thou, Timothy, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who did he learn them from? He learned them from Jesus Christ. He learned them from God, right? And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Tell you what you need for the last days, more than you need a generator. You need a scriptural faith. You need a scriptural faith because everybody believes somebody. Don't even pretend that you researched it all for yourself, because you didn't. You're going to believe somebody. Everybody in this life walks by faith. You're an evolutionist and you think you know science. Don't be an idiot. You know as well as I know that you believed what some professor said. You had no capacity to go investigate all that he was doing. You believed him, and that's why you believe what you believe. Now, I'll tell you what we have that nobody else has. We have our authorities in our lap. And what you need in the last days, more than a generator or a shotgun or 10,000 rounds of ammunition, you need a scriptural faith. You realize the number of people in our country, a first world country, And the last, just think of the presidential elections these last many years, and whether the guy that was in you liked or not, just think about the fact that 50% of the people voted for the other guy. And some of it's just wacky. I mean, is it not true that you now live in a day where folks have lost their minds? Folks are pursuing some things and going down a path where folks have sold them they should and told them they should, so they are. And I mean, they have faith that government's going to fix it. They have faith that Marxism or socialism is the way. They have faith that what this guy says he's finally going to do, he's not going to do it. He's not going to help you. So what are you saying? I'm saying you need a scriptural faith, because you are going to believe somebody and you are going to walk by faith following somebody. So I'll follow Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gave me his word. You need a scriptural faith. I think about, maybe your idea is that you will latch on, because it's common. It's normal. You hear, say, somebody on the radio that reflects a good many of your morals and a good many of your political views and maybe even convinces you some of your own. And so you tend to listen to him as some sort of authority. I'll tell you what happens when you research what some of those guys believe. You realize that you shouldn't be following them at all. You say, what should I follow? You need a scriptural faith. You need a knowledge of being able to go to the Bible and to be told what you should believe, not by some jerk who has no sense, no two brain neurons to rub together. You need a scriptural faith. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need something eternal. You need something accessible. You need something incorruptible. You need something certain. You need something unchanging. You stop and consider all the things that folks are going through and all the things that people say. You realize, folks, let me read you 1 Peter chapter 1 real quick. You don't have to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read you verse 24, where it says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever." You need a scriptural faith. Because, right now, Rush Limbaugh died, and so they have kind of a continuing show where his voice is being played for things that he said in the past and all those things. How long is that going to go on? Listening to a dead man. Aren't you glad you don't have to listen to a dead man? Aren't you glad your Savior rose and gave you a living book, and that nothing's ever going to change in this book? Aren't you glad? I tell you what you need. You need a scriptural faith. You know what Ephesians says? It says, having made known unto us, God made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure as he hath purposed in himself. God showed you the eternal will of God in the book. There's no need for you to have any reference to Sean Hannity. Don't you know that when Glenn Beck speaks that he's a Mormon? Why should I trust somebody that can't discern Mormonism? Right? Apparently the guy thinks that if you have the right underwear on, you go to heaven. Could you explain to me why I should spend any time with him when I have a Bible? I'll tell you what you need. You need scriptural faith. I tell you what else you need. Look in Matthew chapter 16, if you wouldn't mind. Matthew chapter 16. This is a survival kit for the last days, and it doesn't even cost you $39.95. You won't even burn yourself trying to get your candle lit. Matthew chapter 16, and famous words from Jesus Christ, verse 3. "And in the morning it will be foul weather to say, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?" I'd like to say, you need the capacity to discern. The capacity to discern. You need Jesus Christ. You need a scriptural faith. You need to have your senses exercised to be able to discern good and evil. You know, the Bible says, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. So primarily, you have to know what the Bible says. If you know what the Bible says, then you're prepared to discern some things. I'm talking about judging some things. I'm talking about saying no to this and yes to that. You need the capacity to discern. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." You have to be able to discern those things. It's talking about teachers there. Somebody's going to be talking out of their mouth. They're going to be gregarious. They're going to be entertaining. They may even be funny, and they may be handsome. They may have hair. And what's going to come out of their mouth is a pleasing thing, and the devil is speaking through them. You need to be able, you need to have the capacity to discern. 2 Timothy, we just read a little while ago that in the latter days, that perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. Bible says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. And now that I've started quoting it, I can't finish it. Sorry about that. So I'm going to go get some help. I love starting a verse that I know and then I can't. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. You need the capacity to discern. And all too often that is not found, because after all, they've spent several generations now undermining folks' trust in the Word of God. There are King James defenders that spend their time undermining trust in the very Bible they defend. They stand up and they would have you understand that this Greek word could actually be translated this way. And after all, wouldn't that make more sense? And they never really correct the Bible, but they teach you that you should think like that. I'll tell you what that is. You're not going to be able to discern good and evil. Not in the end. You won't be able to. 2 Peter chapter 2 says that as there were false prophets among those folks in Israel, so there shall be false teachers among you. You need to be able to discern. You need a capacity to discern. Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. One of the prime things you're going to have discerned, that you will have to discern, is the wickedness in you. And that's what the Word of God provides for you. You will need to be able to judge and to discriminate where you're wrong and where you're right. You may need a preacher to help, but the authority will still be the Word of God. I tell you what you need more than you need 1,000 shotgun shells. You need the capacity to discern. You really, really do. And, you know, I don't know, again, I mention these guys because have made a lot of hay through the years. You know, the Hannitys and the Rush Limbaughs of the world and so on, and they have great followings and all that. They lend the appearance of, you know, being somewhat like us, and yet when you stop and consider, that there are many things they don't discern. For instance, I know that all those conservative guys, hardly any of them would ever say anything negative about a queer. Have you noticed that? You say, why? They have to keep their audience. In the end, it's about money. In the end, it's about popularity. In the end, it's about the quantity. And that's not what we're called to be. That's not the reason we're called to judge. You're called to discern right from wrong, black from white, negative from positive, and you're called to discern sin from righteousness. I just want to say you need the capacity to discern. A Roman Catholic priest discerns as he was taught by his church. A Mormon discerns according to as he was taught by his church. How do you discern? As you were taught by mama and daddy? What would be a help if there's a way of doing that that's right, as long as they stick with the book? But don't you discern by the book? That was the second statement here. You need a scriptural faith. You need a capacity to discern. You need to be able to be sure. You need to be able to be certain. Your survival kit for the last days. You have been given a heritage. We have been given a treasure, brothers and sisters, where you don't have to ask any expert. We now live in an expert-generated day. We have spent the last 2 years listening to experts say the exact opposite of each other and one another, and one guy changes every other week. One expert says coffee's health food. The next week, coffee is going to kill you. They can't make up their minds. That is not where we are, right? You can drink coffee or not, but you need the capacity to discern. Take your Bibles, turn to Titus chapter 2. In order to survive the last days, Titus, book of Titus, chapter 2, and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope, I'll tell you this, you need a steadfast and clear hope. The world has their hopes placed in all sorts of things. The survivalists and the preppers and the hoarders are trusting their hoards. They're trusting their prepping. What are you trusting? You know what I'm saying? You need a steadfast, clear hope. The rapture is the blessed hope. You say, Stevens, you're just trying to escape. Well, duh. Who doesn't want to get out of here now, right? See, ladies and gentlemen, you need a steadfast and a clear hope. That is my hope. What's yours? You now are surrounded by folks that think somewhat like you. In fact, there's a kind of a, you know, there's kind of work together pretty good, and they're counting on a Republican or political or conservative revolution. That's not the answer. That's no hope. I tell you what, I'm glad that what I'm preaching today, I mean, I know that they had influence, but Rush Limbaugh had a 35 or 40 year career, and during the midst of his career, along came Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. I'm glad I can have more influence in y'all's lives than he succeeded in leading folks right. Because if that was the real case, then he was a failure. Don't you see? You need a steadfast. You need a clear hope. You've been given that in Jesus Christ. You've been given that in a scriptural faith. There are folks that think that the right kind of health care fixes everything. There's an entire body of people that think if we could just do away with racial and ethnic differences, that solves everything. That solves nothing. Aren't you glad that you have a clear and a steadfast hope? Do you really think the economy is going to get fixed? Do you really think that a patriotic revival would return us to where we were 150 years ago? Ladies and gentlemen, you live in the last days. And in these last days, these latter of the last days, the game has changed. This is not the same as it was in 1776. This is not the same as it was in 1861 and 65. This is an entirely different day. The devil has gotten a foothold now in ways that he didn't have a foothold before. The world has always been wicked. It's just that it's much wickeder now. So what are you getting at, Brother Stevens? You need a sure and a steadfast, clear hope. And that is what the world does not have. And I will say this, that is what a good many of your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ don't have. they no longer have a Bible, and that Jesus Christ they know is something of a figment of their imagination and their own fabrication. They have imparted unto Jesus Christ certain characteristics they like, and they have just relegated the ones they don't like to the closet, and they never even think about those. I doubt very seriously that very many evangelical Christians think about Jesus Christ coming back in a flaming rage. So I wonder where they missed that. Well, they missed it in their Bible. I just want to say, you need a steadfast and a clear hope. I got news for you. The devil's coming back to earth. And most of the population on the face of this earth is going to die in awful, horrid deaths. I'm glad we'll be out of here. But this world is not going to get better and better. There's a great tribulation coming, such as which the world has never seen before. But the Bible says that you and I have a clear hope. It says in Titus chapter 1, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, a hope in the Bible is an expectation. I place my hope there, expect it to happen because God promised that it would. I have a blessed hope, and I have a hope that's going to endure past all the disappointments that anybody else can, you know, whatever folks care to believe. My hope's going to come to pass. I'll tell you what you need. You need a steadfast and a clear hope. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you wouldn't mind, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And again, nothing here that any of you don't know, but verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And then it says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I'll tell you what you need. You need true comfort. True comfort comes from having a clear, steadfast hope. A clear and steadfast hope comes from having the capacity to discern. The capacity to discern comes from a clear scriptural faith. You need true comfort. This world has spent the last 2 years, and then you could extend it back before that, being exploited, being manipulated to fear. We've been treated as cattle by our handlers. And I just want to say that you and I should be above that. I don't mean that we're better than them. I'm saying that you should not be able to be manipulated by them. You have a true comfort. You've been given from John 14 and 15 the Comforter. The Bible says that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we're to have hope. That's what you need for the last times. You need that worse than you need a generator. You need that worse than you need a survival garden. You need the things we've mentioned today, because I tell you what, somebody can come plow over your survival garden, and somebody can blow up your 1,000 gallons of fuel you have stored underground. If you have a silo full of ammunition or whatever, well, who knows what can even happen to that. But I tell you what you need. You need true comfort. I'll tell you what else you need. Look in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 6. You see there, he says, being confident of this very thing. I tell you what you need. You need absolute confidence. I can't tell you what a joy it is. I lived a good part of my life without confidence. I now have a book that I have confidence in. It's been a long time since my confidence in the book was shaken. And I don't want it to ever be shaken again. It is nice to be able to have a certitude, a confidence. You have that. You realize Noah went to work for 60 or 70 years. He was a public reproach. He was a public offscouring. People hated his guts. He stood on the bow of that ship and a preacher of righteousness and preached and had no converts. That went on, look, that went on for 60 or 70 years. And you know, he still got up to work and went to work every morning. You know, there must have been days for him, just like there are days for us, where you work all day and everything, it seems like, goes wrong. And you look back on the day and you worked your, you know, fingers to the bone and broke your back, got busted up just trying to get something done, and you can't even see that you even accomplished anything. And yet he kept going back day after day after day. He had complete confidence that God told him something was going to happen that had never happened before. And he kept getting up and going back at it every single day. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's what's needed. It really is. Do you remember those Hebrew children? I mean, they're being threatened with their lives, and who wants to go be thrown into a burning fiery furnace? They said, "We are not careful to answer thee on this matter." I mean, there was a rock-hard, steely certitude that those three Hebrew boys had. They said, we don't even have to think twice. We don't have to huddle up. We don't have to have a discussion amongst ourselves of how we should answer. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. And ladies and gentlemen, along, you know, somebody mentioned this morning, you know, the pre-wrath rapture and stuff, and as if it's supposed to shake us that somebody doesn't believe the pre-trib rapture. What somebody else believes doesn't change Daniel chapter 9 in the least. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, you need absolute confidence that what you believe is right. The Bible says there in Proverbs chapter 22, allow me to rip back there real fast because I don't think I can cite it to you without a little help, but Proverbs chapter 22, where it says, bow down thine ear in verse 17, and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, and they shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I've made known to thee this day even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody asks you a question about the future or the present, and there's a Bible verse for it, you ought to be able to answer with absolute certitude. You need absolute confidence. Let me ask you a question. Are you at a place yet where false prophets and newsmen can't ruin your day? Well, most folks in 2020 couldn't say so. And you have to, probably some of us have to raise our hands and admit that we got sucked in a little bit, where we decided we should listen a little more than we should have to a lot of the stuff going on last year, right? But I'll tell you where you need to get. You need to get to a place where what they say cannot ruin your day. Because you know where this is headed. And there may be a riot, and there may be a social upheaval, and there may be a economy crash or whatever else is the case, and that really... I know that may mean that you go hungry or that you lose your house or some such thing like that, but that should not shake your certitude of what Jesus Christ has in your future. You need these things in your survival kit for the last days. Jesus Christ, a scriptural faith, a capacity to discern, a clean, clear steadfast hope, true comfort, an absolute confidence in God, an absolute certitude of His Word. And I got one last thing for you. Turn over with me to Jude, if you would, and then we'll be done. Jude. Notice verse 18, we'll start there. Now that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, we've read this today already once, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. That was Sunday school. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now stop there to say there are two things in the Bible, as you all know, that build somebody up. One is the Word of God from Acts, and one is prayer from here, right? So, verse 19, verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, comma. Notice, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, I know what some folks do with that verse. I'll tell you what I believe it means for me and you. I believe you're called to keep yourself in the love of God. And I don't mean you have to keep yourself saved. Because I know from Romans chapter 8 that I am in the love of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. And I know there's nothing that can separate me from that love now that I'm saved, right? So what does that mean? You would say it differently, but I'll tell you what I believe it means in verse 20, keeping yourselves in the love of God. I think it means it's your job to stay in love with God. It's your job to stay in love with Jesus Christ. And how do you do that? Well, verse 19, you better pray. I tell you what you need in your survival kit. You need to pray. It's hard for me to explain sometime what prayer means to me, because on one hand it is a constant frustration. I never get up from prayer feeling I've prayed well. At the same time, if I don't pray, it's like there's a part of my life that's missing. And I've realized that what it is that is the touchstone. That and the Word of God is the touchstone where I go and make my attempt to stay in touch with God. And if I don't try to pray, I'm not really staying in touch. If I don't try to pray, if I'm not willing to try and fail, I'm failing altogether. I'll tell you what you need, ladies and gentlemen. You need to pray. You need prayer on a daily basis. Yes, you need the Word of God. We've already covered that. But you need to pray. You say, I don't pray well. Prayer frustrates me. Prayer is a battle. I find that to be the case with the apostles. I have to find something to comfort myself with my failures, because I'm serious. That's the first thing I do every morning when I get up. And I very seldom feel that I have done it well. But I bet you in this room, there's somebody that doesn't pray much at all. I tell you what the Lord will reward. The Lord will reward your attempts, because it shows Him you're serious. Because He knows it's hard. Because He knows you're not getting a lot of feedback from Him. I'm sorry, I don't hear voices. I'm sorry, but I don't have these emotional swings during my prayer. I'm sorry, I just don't. I know some guys cry and bawl and shout and scream and holler and act like they're getting good stuff. I don't know. I don't ever do that. For me, prayer is usually nothing but hard work. And I fail so often, it makes me sick. But I get up knowing I tried. And I get up, and God knows I tried. And I should do better every time that I fail. But brother, you need to pray. You need to pray as much as you need to read your Bible. You need that in your survival kit. It says there, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. That's a comma between verse 20 and verse 21. But praying in your most holy faith. And building up yourselves on your most holy faith. I'm sorry, misquoted that. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. I take that to mean my praying keeps me in love with God. You need that. Amen. So it'd be a good thing for you to have a candle in your car when it's 30 below out and, you know, you blow a tire or the tranny drops. It's a good thing. If you have some snow boots, it's a pretty good thing to have in the car when your car breaks down and you're out in the middle of North Dakota somewhere. A granola bar might go quite a ways toward making you a little more comfortable. Don't forget your lighter either. But you can't forget these things. You need these things to survive the latter times. Let's bow our heads and pray.